the Public News Service Toa newscast, November the 20th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. Donald Trump joined Elon Musk in Texas to watch this afternoon's SpaceX Starship test launch as his proposed administration takes shape. That from The Independent. They report on Tuesday the president-elect named Cantor Fitzgerald CEO Harold Lutnick as the Commerce Secretary. Trump also tapped Dr. Mehmet Oz as Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Administrator. His job is to work closely with Bobby Kennedy Jr. Next to New York, where the governor there, Kathy Hochul, has revived congestion pricing after a five-month pause.
The program's biggest change is a $9 toll, down from $15. However, this will change over time. By 2031, the toll will increase to $15 for all drivers. The program's mixed reception from New Yorkers is partly to blame for the pause. Renee Reynolds with the Tri-State Transportation Campaign says the program faced opposition from commuters.
There have been a plethora of critiques from folks in New Jersey who have complained about the cost of the toll, who have made claims that people are going to create congestion in other areas as they aim to avoid the congestion pricing fee.
An environmental assessment shows congestion pricing could increase pollution in the outer boroughs and New Jersey. Specifically, the Bronx might see increased soot from more than 700 trucks entering the borough daily, but MTA is spending $130 million on mitigation efforts. Congestion pricing will go into effect at midnight on January 5th, 2025. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
And the vote for president was close in Nevada. And now that the results are in, organizations that lean more progressive believe the re-election of Donald Trump could put much of the progress made in the Silver State in jeopardy.
Nevadans should take Trump's campaign promises seriously, says Shelby Schwartz with the group Battleborn Progress. She calls on leaders in Carson City and in Congress to stand up for their constituents, which she argues a Trump administration could target, from immigrants to people who identify as transgender.
If your values change based on polling, if your willingness to fight for the dignity of all Nevadans does not extend to our transgender siblings, then those are not values. They're talking points drafted in pencil.
Schwartz says she has faith in the Nevada legislature to pass bills that will uphold and protect the rights of Nevadans. But she adds the biggest challenge will be seeing what can make it across Republican Governor Joe Lombardo's desk. Last year, Lombardo, who endorsed Donald Trump, vetoed a record 75 bills passed by the legislature's Democratic majority. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
A new report for the American Immigration Council finds a one-time mass deportation operation would cost the U.S. at least $315 billion to remove over 13 million people. This is Public News Service. As the nation prepares for the second term of President-elect Donald Trump, librarians are increasingly worried about his agenda and what it might mean for their bookshelves.
The conservative-leaning playbook known as Project 2025 would overhaul government agencies, cut budgets, increase censorship, and reduce civil rights enforcement, according to the Every Library Institute. Peter Bromberg with Every Library says it could spell trouble for public and school libraries when books are labeled pornographic for containing LGBTQ plus material.
What is getting banned as pornographic are mainstream books, are classic books or award-winning books, even picture books like Entangle Makes Three, Heather Has Two Mommies, or a biography of Billie Jean King that's a picture book that's age-appropriate, but it mentions that she's a gay woman.
I'm Terry D. reporting.
And supported by federal funding, a nonprofit network is working to ensure Mississippi families have access to the food they'll need this winter. Our Daniel Smith has more.
Nearly one in six Mississippians face food insecurity, according to Feeding America. Adam Runyon of the Mississippi Food Network says the USDA has a program that allows them to distribute locally grown fresh produce to more than 400 partner agencies statewide. He says they started with 21 agencies in underserved northwestern Delta counties. The funding has helped nearly 5,000 families so far.
And it's able to serve about 200 people at each agency when we started per month, but we've been able to take on more agencies as the program has developed. And so it comes out to 4,200 households per month we're receiving assistance through this program.
Runyon says they offer a variety of programs, including distributing food boxes to qualifying seniors and a backpack program for schools.
Finally, Ohio, among the many states where a majority of workers lack access to paid family leave.
A new report by Groundwork Ohio finds 3 in 4 Ohioans are employed in jobs without the possibility of paid family leave. This means many parents of young children face difficult choices between work and family. Even other conservative states like Florida and Texas have developed voluntary systems allowing private market benefits. Lynn-Ann Gutierrez with Groundwork Ohio says the need for policies that support families and their workforce participation has never been clearer.
There is currently a mismatch in policy and the desires of both policymakers and the people of Ohio when it comes to both the needs of their young children and families and the workforce.
The report was commissioned by the Annie E. Casey Foundation. Farah Siddiqui reporting.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here are some radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our content and trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.